Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We're back with another rousing episode of Leading Edge Medicine.
Dr. Umat is missing in action once more.
That's right. She's actually out of the country, I hear.
Oh, well, she is. Kind of. It's in our backyard. She's up in Whistler today. But her hubby, Dr. Sunil Umat, is speaking at the International ENT Conference up at Whistler. And so she went up to watch her hubby talk to the group.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretending to be Dr.
Right.
Samira.
Yeah.
The one, the only, Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Good morning.
Dr. Michael Gilbert of Northwest Vision Institute.
Well, this is fun.
It is. Two doctors in the house.
That's right. So we have two doctors and Lynette here.
And Lynette.
As usual. It's just...
I'm just the phone answer.
Different doctors.
Okay. There we go. Yes, different doctors. So I would say, Dr. Mixon, this is the day for folks, if they have eye questions about their eye health.
That's right.
Glaucoma.
Macular degeneration.
Yes, and all the things, and what can they do, and especially the...
Diabetic Drews.
Yes. Drews.
And there are a lot of things going on in ophthalmology.
Yes.
New technologies, historic technologies that now have been approved for eye-specific changes. One of your favorite things, meibomian glands.
Meibomian glands.
New drugs to treat both glaucoma and to kill little bugs that crawl around that are commonly found on the surface of the eye.
And as people are cringing, they're going, what?
Well,
but this is real.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. So all kinds of things.
Okay.
Treatments for glaucoma really changing as laser instead of drops. A lot of things going on.
Okay. Well, we'll have to get that update from you, Dr. Gilbert. And Dr. Mixon, what is happening in the medical world?
Oh, the medical world.
Although I know you'd like to talk political, but maybe not.
Well, I am going to talk political for just one moment. I had a kind of sinking feeling in this past week as I was looking at the wild machinations that the powers that be are going through to try to either imprison or at least remove Mr. Trump from the ballot. I'm afraid that if they can't imprison him and they can't keep him off the ballot, they're going to kill him. I am really frightened that there will be an assassination of Mr. Trump. And I can't help wondering if that's why Nikki Haley won't drop out.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if she wins or not. If she's at least in the contest and something happens to the front runner, she would be the default.
She would be there.
It's funny. I had that dark thought, and you know, I don't know that we want to go there. I'll try and avoid us going there. Maybe I should be the rational one that says, "Let's talk rather about."
Oh, how about I be the
weather.
Rational one, and then you guys be the dark ones.
I had exactly that dark thought within the last week.
Yeah,
something we would never have thought of years ago.
No.
But now,
I look at the extreme efforts that are being made.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just uncontrolled thought and
So I am concerned. I hope it never ever happens, but I can't help worrying that it just
we are might. So extremely polarized.
Yeah,
I never remember polarization at this degree.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
Yep.
The world is a very complicated place. Yeah. But we have wonderful doctors like you to help us
navigate. Look at
her
bringing the ship back to port.
That's right. Yeah, I know.
It's tough to turn that ship.
Let me give you a little bit of cheer for something that I hope to have up and running by March.
This March.
Sometime in March.
Amazing. We're at the end of Jan. What?
That's right.
I know.
It's like tomorrow you're talking,
March. Well, February starts next week.
Right.
Next Wednesday, Thursday.
February 1st.
But anyway, by the sometime in March, and it may be early or mid March, but sometime before the end of March, I hope we have converted this show to an audio-visual experience.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
So that there will be cameras watching us as we do our show.
So I can't come in and sweats and pony. No, wait, I don't do that.
Well, and we're going to... I am redoing a large room here in the headquarters as a audio-visual studio, but because we have to get government permitting to do that, it probably won't get done till late summer or even early fall. But we are setting up, I've got consultants coming in and equipment being purchased to, in the interim, do the show from my personal office. And instead of sitting around this table, we will sit on the couches.
Whoa.
And have three cameras.
On the couches.
I'd like to lounge on the couch.
I have two couches in my office.
Very good.
I have a full-size couch and a love seat. And so we will put those facing each other, and there will be one camera aimed at one couch, one camera aimed at the other couch, and then a wide-angle camera to get us all.
Okay.
And we will, instead of these big, clunky microphones we're now speaking into, there will be lavalier microphones.
Those are the little bitty ones that clip on.
Oh my gosh.
And the little earbud for our ears instead of these big headphones we're currently wearing.
Okay. So we can look like Secret Service.
We can look like Secret Service. And I've got a large television on the wall there that when we have guests call in from the East Coast or Texas or something, so some of the research people that I am corresponding with, we can Zoom them or Teams meeting them in and have them actually on the show from, you know, Atlanta or New York or wherever. So we are going to be doing a major revamp, and we are going to be doing this as a live stream so that you can, instead of listening to your radio or just streaming it from the radio station, you can go online, stream us live on any device from your computer to your phone, etc. But they'll also then be able to be live streamed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week after the live show. So that if you want to have your friends or your neighbors see the show on Wednesday afternoon instead of Saturday morning, they can do that.
Okay, I was wondering what he meant by 24/7. I'm thinking Dr. Mixon's office. It's the Dr. Jerry Cam. 24/7.
No.
Being able to stream it.
The show that
podcast,
the podcast we do will be then. We just bought I think it's a 5 terabyte server.
Whoa.
Will handle all the number of people that want to watch us at the same time from wherever on the planet. So, yeah, we're steaming ahead with this.
Whoa. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Dr. Gilbert. So will Dr. Gilbert continue to come in live, or will he be on the big screen?
It means you have to stand up, sit up straight. And,
that's right.
I do sit up pretty straight.
You're going to have to start wearing your suit and your bow tie again.
Can't come in my sweats anymore.
I know, or our shorts with the business suit.
You have to wear a gown. You have to wear your bow tie. Suit. And I come in shorts and a Hawaiian
shirt. And you're talking
shirt.
Fancy think, gown, not my sleeping.
I think there's a lot of eye rolling going on out in the listening world.
That's right. Well, you know, a lot of people do, though. They like to see who they're talking to. They want to see Dr. Megan.
Honestly, I think the vast majority will be turning off the screen and pretending it's just the radio. I honestly have many people just spontaneously who will say, Dr. Gilbert, you have a radio voice.
Yes.
And I respond to them, you know, funny thing, no one's ever said I have a television face.
That's right.
Right? Just, it's the boys. But honestly, it's better they just use their imagination.
Yeah. And, you know, right. I always get the, I thought you were a little petite blonde. And I'm like, no, I'm a 5'10", brunette.
Well, no,
ish.
Yeah,
red
brunette-ish.
Ish.
Yeah, ginger.
Auburn, ginger. Ginger would be the, yeah.
Right. Well, I have a feeling folks are more interested in the medicine than in seeing us, but
they do connect, and we love to see you, and will be fun.
It should be fun. That's my goal.
A leading edge. There you go.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, yeah. And so, you guys, you have to put up with just as radio personalities for another month and a half or 2 months. But at some point in March, it is my firm expectation, hopefully I will not be disappointed, but my team tells me, the team is saying by the 1st of March, so I'm thinking before the end of March.
Okay.
It should.
There you go.
Because nothing ever goes as fast as the team.
And if it does get done faster, then you're pleasantly surprised.
That's right.
There you go. Wow.
So everyone will learn that we really do this program without a net.
That's right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's right.
No net.
Yep. And when we are when the music is great and we're up dancing, they'll be able to see us dance.
Unlike our world leaders, there's no teleprompter to tell us.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You got it.
That's right.
The real thing.
The real thing. Live radio, audio visuals. So
if you would like to get in one of the last dozen or so radio-only shows.
Classic.
Give us a call. And Lynette, give them the number so they can call us.
Absolutely. Here is that number, because we'd love to have you call and get in on the first part of our show and not be scrambling at the end of the show today. Because we have Dr. Gilbert and Dr. Mixon in the studio. So for eye questions, eye health questions, issues, give us a call right now. You'll be live. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And while we're waiting for that first call, Dr. Gilbert, why don't you take a few minutes and maybe pick one of your eye topics. You were saying so many things are happening in this field, some updates and exciting.
Sure. So the last one we mentioned, you said, can we talk some big words? Well, I know your favorite one is meibomian glands.
Yes,
right?
That is.
Meibomian glands. So there are a couple things. One is medical associated with meibomian gland dysfunction, which for those listening, let's just call it dry eye. 80% of patients who have any dry eye symptoms, and funny thing, sometimes those dry eye symptoms are watery eyes. So oftentimes redness, irritation, scratchiness, fatigue when you're reading. People who say, I can't read, and then I ask them, can you read at all? Yeah, I can read for a half hour, and then I can't. That's dry eye. That's not your readers. So the number one cause, 80%, greater than 80% of that is meibomian gland decline. And so one of the things that is often associated with that is an infestation called Demodex. And when we find that on the lashes, high percentage of patients, I love to take a picture of it and then show people what that looks like on the hoof, which is to say, what does it really look like? Because unlike infections that we know are bacteria, and that's a little bit abstract, and we put in drugs to kill it. This is actually a little parasite that crawls around on your eyelashes, and if you pluck them off, you can see it in the microscope. But finally, and they've been devilishly hard to eradicate. So it turns up IPL, which we have in Bella Medica. Mm-hmm. It is an aesthetic, but we'll talk about that a little later. It has a medical application in ophthalmology, but it's largely a light treatment that's were used in cosmetics, but it also kills this mite. Mm. A little hard to kill, Well, there's a new drug that twice a day kills her off over a six-week treatment. So that's
wow.
that's kind of fun.
That's huge.
It is for those who have that as a part of their condition, because otherwise that darn thing is difficult to kill. So we have a new medication that does it.
I've wondered, is it higher in women that perhaps use a lot of, because a lot of those fake eyelashes are big deals these days.
Right.
I always wonder about that. It's like, oh.
They don't love fake eyelashes as much as they love the goopy secretions that come from those declining glands.
Okay.
Normal glands put out this crystal clear, wonderful olive oil, sewing machine oil, clear tears. As they decline, it becomes more like grease that comes out.
Ah.
And, of course, it's body temperature grease. And so they love to just wallow in that stuff.
Wow.
But that
So many visions coming to
that
mind.
That stuff is also what causes your vision to fluctuate, your eyes to get red because it's because of the enzymes in those degrading tears. So it tends to burn and irritate. And part of that, it makes those little mites happy. So now we have more tools to kill them off.
Okay. Demodex.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the problems with this is it's so common that it's very underdiagnosed and way undertreated. So I think we're going to be a little bit better at that now, or certainly in my practice we are, because I've long focused on those evil things.
Okay.
You know, even the name, Demodex.
Demodex.
Right.
Demodex.
It is a little...
Demon specs.
So, of course, the cartoons that they, you know, to try and help people understand. I don't think you need cartoons for patient education. If you show a picture of this little thing crawling around on
that's
an eyelash,
you,
folks are pretty motivated
pretty
to get rid of it.
Yes, right. And you know I'm going to Google that.
It's
as soon
not
as we
abstract.
Take a break.
Oh, you got to see it.
Oh, boy.
In fact, during the break, I'm going to show you.
Okay, good. You do that. We are live in the studio, Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Michael Gilbert here, and we're talking about whatever you'd like to discuss. But you know what? With the eye expert in the house, this is your opportunity to find out more about dry eye, glaucoma, your eye health. Here's that number to call right now. Lines are open, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Medicine. Hi there, Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. Yes, rocking and rolling. And Dr. Michael Gilbert, he is our eye specialist from Northwest Vision Institute, the day to get your eye questions answered. And we're going to dive right in with an eye question with Ray from Woodinville. Good morning, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hey, I have a question for you, Dr. Gilbert. And
sir.
You, Dr. Mixon, if there's enough time. So
okay.
I see you, Dr. Gilbert, and I have a question about the importance or lack of importance of light during reading, because I have a teenager who does not like to read with light.
Uh-huh.
And is that damaging to the eye at all, or is that just put more...
So mom is generally right,
put more strain.
Mom is right in most things, but probably not in this one. If they can comfortably read, you're not doing any harm to your eyes. It's not eye strain. However, you know, light is very important the older we get. As the eye loses some of its resolution, just by age, oftentimes you become more dependent on having increased light. So you and I need a little more light than your teenager. But you do no harm reading in low light.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Tell mom to relax a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Kind of like calm down.
Although my answer probably depends on what your teenager's reading.
Yes.
There we go.
Well, she does a lot of the screen reading. We brought her in to talk to your son about the those things, those glands you were just talking about, the
microbial Okay, now we're talking about serious stuff.
To see if she was losing any of it. And after the appointment, he didn't come out and talk to me, so I'm guessing that everything was okay. It was a couple months ago.
Yeah. So you're moving from an area where I'm not concerned to an area where I have the deepest concern for that next generation. And that's because it's not the amount of light. It's the fact that they're spending so much screen time. Screen time is toxic. Never mind to the brain. I think we could probably agree on that part. But it's doing long-term damage to the eye and those glands we were just talking about. The glands we were talking about, the ones that are responsible for lubricating the eye, release tears when, but only when you blink. And the problem with screen time is our normal blink, each blink releasing tears, our normal blink about 20 times a minute on screens goes down to about 2.
Ooh.
From 20 to 2. And so the problem is, where that gets us is when you spend hour after hour after hour, those glands live and die by the old adage, if you don't use them, you lose them. So I see young people, of course, the tech crowd in their 20s and 30s, coming in with 50% or more permanent gland loss. But I also see young teens coming in, real young teens. And, I had, within the month, I had an 18-year-old who had 80% gland loss. Screen time, and by the time they come to me, they've become uncomfortable, they have dry eyes, and they just want, what drop do I take to fix it? Unfortunately, unless you change that behavior of staring at the screens, we'll end up with more permanent loss. And the good news of it is, if there can be good news, at their age, surely we'll have better answers than we have today. But one of those answers has to be behavioral, and that is to try and find a way to move blinking back into a reflex that's integrated into your screen time. So I tell people, for instance, that if you're on a desktop, every time you click the mouse, you blink. Putting up a post-it isn't going to work because your brain will ignore that or tell you to get that thing off of the icons it's blocking. So it needs to be something subconscious that you're not thinking about. Every time you hit the space bar, every time you click the mouse, you make yourself blink with that. So it's automatically happening. But failure to do that will allow not only your symptoms to increase, but some permanent loss of those glands.
Yeah, because there's no way to grow back.
No.
Right?
So I'm easy on the light, but staring at screens, uh-oh.
Okay. And Ray, you had a question for Dr. Mixon as well?
Yeah, hey, Dr. Mixon. So I've been using, I don't know the whole name of it, for my testosterone DHE cream. It's called Lipo.
Okay.
And I went to get a refill, and I was told that they can't do the 90-day refill anymore because some stupid government agency said if they don't test it, it can't be used. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. The strict interpretation.
Was this a state agency or was this a federal agency?
Okay. The federal law.
Made this decision to.
Yeah, the federal law says that you cannot write a prescription for a controlled substance for more than 6 months. Okay. So you could get a 90-day supply with one refill and not violate federal law. After that, you have to go back and get another prescription written. And for some reason, testosterone is considered a controlled substance, just like a narcotic.
The lipo cream that they said they can't do. Well, it wasn't the testosterone.
Oh, the lipoderm cream that the testosterone is put in. Okay, yeah.
Right, and they said
Yeah, I don't know why he's concerned about that, because the lipoderm cream is just the base that we mix the testosterone or the estradiol or the progesterone into. So it's the base cream that the compound pharmacy uses to add the active chemicals to. Lipoderm, right. Though, the word lipo stands for lipid, which means it's a fat. Okay, it's a fat-based cream. And fats go rancid over time. So they have to be kept. They have to be kept cool, but not too cold. And if they're in a warm, damp environment, they go rancid faster. So with the Lipoderm creams, they don't like to make too much of it at a time because you basically get a stinky rancid solution you're putting on your skin. So well, I don't think that's a matter of law. I think it's a matter of practicality for the chemistry involved.
No, the pharmacist up in Bellevue, the custom prescription guys I use, said that the state, I think he inferred that the state came out with a new regulation saying that unless they tested it with DHEA and testosterone, which would cost thousands of dollars, they couldn't do more than a one month supply. And he said it was a new regulation.
All right. Yeah.
That they came out with, and I was just wondering. If
so that's that's the pharmacy's making. Yeah. See that the pharmacy
this
we
is
use
something I've used for years, for probably 10 years with no problem, and now you got these yahoos, most likely at the state, the same guys that banned the growth hormone up there, or down there in Olympia, you know, or wherever they're at.
Well, this is not a regulation that we worry about Paramount Pharmacy, because they send out 10% of every sample and every batch of everything they make for independent testing. So they're already paying to get it tested. So yes, it is an extra expense for the pharmacy. And, you know, that means that the price to the customer has to go up a bit. But, you know, if the pharmacy you've been using is not sending it out to get tested regularly, then, you know, they either have to not use for more than 30 days or they have to send things out to be tested for stability.
Well, I guess I'll have to call Paramount again. The last time I called them, my prescription was higher than custom prescriptions in Bellevue. But, you know, I'm real sensitive to the bases. I had to go through 3 or 4 bases there. I found one that didn't irritate my skin.
Yes. No, I do understand. But Paramount will do a 90-day supply, but that's because they automatically have it all tested, and that's why there is a modest price difference, because they have to pay to do the testing.
Mm. Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate your show, and you guys have a good rainy morning, right?
Yes, it is a rainy morning. Yeah, you know, this brings to mind one of my old adages, though. It's not true that you get what you pay for. You always pay for what you get.
Pay for what you get.
Ah, yes.
But you don't always get what you get.
That's right. You don't always get what you pay for. Because I pay for a lot of
stuff. Less and less often right now.
That's right.
Well, where we live, we get flood with this rain. It's going to flood the Snoqualmie River, and it closes one of the roads that we use. And it's always, you know, good old Ron Sims. He didn't want to raise that road to 124th out there. And we're just kind of like frogs in a frying pan out here in the East King County.
Oh, dear. Well, enjoy your rubber boat and your rubber ducky.
Yes, be prepared.
Snorkels by the door.
That's right. Okay, thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ray. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio live, and also Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. We have more calls we'll get to, and we invite you to call as well at 800-465-8770. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Lou and Dick and life as well. Stay right there. It's Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Michael Gilbert. I'm Lynette, and a little Mick Jagger there in the background. Yeah. Little Jagger, big lips.
Big lips. Yeah. Well, and Craigie, kind of haggard, not very attractive face.
Well, never was, in never my opinion, was. As a girl.
No.
And you know what? He is continuing to tour. So,
yes.
Way to go.
It's clearly the music. Not,
yes.
You know,
not the looks.
It's not the hot looks in his part. It's the music. So.
Yeah. Wow.
How old is he now?
I will Google that and let you know.
I have no idea.
Is he?
He just looks older than he is.
A lot of miles.
A lot of miles. So we'll find out for you in just a moment.
Probably been a fairly rough road given the reputation of
and who looks worse, Keith Richards or Mick Jagger. Okay, so here we go. 8:32, we are headed to Kenmore now. We have Lou on the line. Welcome, Lou.
Hello, Lou.
Hi, doctors. My wife, who's 66 years old, is recovering from both breast cancer surgery after radiation as well as recent hip replacement surgery. My question is regarding the oncologist's recommendation to take letrozole. The common brand name is Femara. I'm calling because you said that the breast cancer is normally not caused by estrogen. The oncologist says that this tumor that they removed is sensitive to hormone therapy and that letrozole might have an effect on suppressing further breast cancer.
Sure. We're talking about two separate things. One is what causes breast cancer, and the other is in the treatment of breast cancer. Okay. Normal, healthy breast tissue loves estrogen, and the estrogen does not cause healthy breast tissue to become malignant. In fact, it lowers the risk of malignancy by about 30%. So women that start with healthy breasts and get put on estrogen have less breast cancer than the women who don't use estrogen. But what normally happens to women with aging is their estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, all three sex hormones, are declining. And by 60, the estrogen is normally down about 70% or so. 70, 75%. Testosterone is down more than 80%. Progesterone is down almost 90%. And so the breast tissue is craving the sex hormones. It needs them to be healthy. So some small percentage of cells will actually undergo a mutation. And they get a genetic mutation in which they are now able to make their own estrogens and their own growth hormones and their own growth factors of all kinds, and they actually now become immortalized. They don't want to die. And so what we really would love to do is turn off the estrogen production in the tumor, but we don't know how to do that. So the only way we can turn off estrogen production in the tumor is to turn off estrogen production everywhere. We don't have a drug that is selective enough to just hit the tumor. And so in women who already have an estrogen-dependent breast cancer, what we really want to do is shut down that production in the tumor, but what we do is we shut it down everywhere in the body. Now, that's good news, bad news. The good news is now the tumor can't make its own estrogen. The bad news is neither can the woman. And so she has an increased incidence of dementia, memory problems, osteoporosis, her bones thin out, her skin goes bad. We get lots and lots of systemic effects from that estrogen deprivation. That's the bad part. The good part is we've also shut down estrogen production in the tumor, and that's what may save her life. So it's a balance. Okay? It's a balancing act.
Got it.
So, yeah. So if she has a cancer that is estrogen dependent, then, you know, the blockers are a good thing for her. Bad thing for women without breast cancer.
Right? Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Our concern is just having had hip replacement surgery, we're concerned about bone redevelopment or regrowth around the new joint and how this would inhibit that.
Well, yes. And so let me tell you about some kind of cutting-edge research in breast cancers. There are now a couple of papers out in people that, like Donovitz and Glazier's teams, that are using testosterone along with an anastrozole pellet that they put into the breast if the women have not had their breast removed, or into subcutaneous fat that is then absorbed into their system. And the testosterone has a very potent anti-tumor effect. And it prevents a lot of the side effects because the testosterone stimulates new bone growth. So the women don't get the osteoporosis that they get with the chemicals that shut down all hormone production. So you let them keep the side that makes new bone and that allows them to heal and repair more efficiently. It also improves their mood. They don't get the depression and the fatigue that they get when you take off all their sex hormones. And it does a really great job of shrinking any residual tumor that might be left. And in fact, this early studies are showing that the women with cancer that are then put on testosterone pellets have an extremely low incidence of tumor reoccurrence. Their tumors don't come back nearly as often as the women that just get their hormones shut down. So if it were my wife, I'd be putting those pellets in her post-haste.
Okay, great. Well, doctor, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all the good work you do.
You're welcome. But let me give you one more thing. Since your wife has this actual problem, send me an email. Go to my website, lmclinic.com. Click on Contact Us. Send me a little note. And what I will do is I will send you links to the doctors that are doing this research. So that if you want to, you can contact them and go get their opinion.
We'll definitely do that.
Okay. Take care, sir.
Thank you so bye-bye. Much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Lou. All right, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Get your call through. Phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. We're headed south to Tacoma. We have Dick on the line for Dr. Gilbert.
Good morning, Dick.
Well, Dr. Gilbert, I had a problem. I'm 79 years of age, and I had a problem 10 or 15 years ago that was reviewed by several ophthalmologists who couldn't come up with an explanation, and they finally gave up on me after they ruled out anything.
So they got to look and couldn't answer it, so you're thinking, I'm going to figure it out over the radio. But I'm up for it. I have an opinion on many things.
I know. So what I experienced was mostly at night, and I haven't noticed this much lately, but when I'd be driving at night and I had a traffic light in the distance, I would see two red lights, one on top of the other.
Okay.
And as I approached the light, it would turn into just one light. But all these ophthalmologists said they were familiar with horizontal double vision, but not vertical double vision, and they couldn't come up with a solution. So I'm turning it over to you to see what your thoughts are.
Good. So I'm not going to be intimidated by my colleagues not having answered your question because, we approach it as I normally would. And honestly, it doesn't sound like something that should stump the team. The first thing you'd want to check is if this is coming from an ocular alignment issue, then when you have the doubling, if you close one eye or the other eye, the second image would disappear. Does that make sense? If it
it didn't change anything when I only looked with one eye.
Oh, see, that's enormously helpful. There's a huge part of your answer right there. Because if for those who are listening who want to do this test yourself, if you have
like
double,
I'm doing.
Right, and I caution you doing it while you drive. You shouldn't be closing eyes and things like that. It's when you have the doubling, if you close one eye and it disappears, and you close the other eye, it disappears, but you're double when both eyes are open, then that is an alignment issue, and it has to do with the fact that every waking moment that we're looking at the world using our eyes, there are 12 muscles, six around each eye, six muscles each eye. All 12 muscles have to be in absolutely micro-perfect alignment, or we see double. So what's amazing is that we don't see, any one of us doesn't see double more than happens. But that microalignment can go a little bit afoul, especially trauma. Diabetes can sometimes do this. The history of trauma or more recent trauma. So there, stroke. There are a lot of things that can do that. Sometimes it's just some atrophy of either the muscular or the neurologic failure of one of those muscles. So
or just fatigue.
Fatigue. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say. With night driving, it's the most common that you can keep all 12 muscles in alignment all day long, but by the end of the day, one of them fades a little bit, and it can be one of the horizontal muscles as well as one of the vertical muscles or one of the oblique. So, although horizontal and vertical are much more common. So again, if it disappears when one eye is closed, it's usually an alignment. It is an alignment issue almost certainly. And the answer would be, even though it's just fatigue, you can put a little bit of prism into some glasses. The best thing to do would be to go see your ophthalmologist, latest appointment that they have, so you're closest to your fatigue. But we have some testing technology that allows us to induce, simulate fatigue, and we can produce that double vision and put in just enough correction to make it go away, so we have some glasses that would keep it from going double when you're at risk for that. If it's watching the television, you can close one eye, or you may want those glasses. But when you're driving, it's nice not to have two cars coming at you from the other side of the road. Now let's go back to what you said it actually is. If you close one eye and it goes away, and or it doesn't go away, that means, so if you close, is it just one of your eyes that goes double, or each eye individually has that horizontal double vision?
Yeah, it seemed to be individual with both eyes.
Okay, so what would cause, sometimes you see singular, sometimes you see double with one eye? Well, that's a common symptom of cataracts, number one, and number two, dry eyes. Well, that's easy enough to test. If blinking or putting in a drop of artificial tears changes that doubling, then you have your answer. If not, the most common reason is either your prescription is off just a little bit, or the most common would be either cataracts or that dry eye situation. Okay? Both of those should be easily tested in an exam lane. But some of us are a little more aggressive at figuring out dry eyes than others. So I'm thinking that might be the explanation. Particularly because if you listened earlier, you know the blinking when you're reading, it happens when you're driving as well. Mm-hmm. So dry eyes with driving, especially late in the day, I'm betting that's it. Blink, try some artificial tears.
So,
I appreciate this.
This is Dr. Mixon. My suggestion is call Dr. Gilbert's office, make an appointment, let them do the testing, and give you a firm answer instead of a radio-educated guess.
There you go.
Let me take a look at it. But that's going to be our thought process in going through. And whether it's either way, I think we've got an answer for you.
Okay. All right. Is that
very
helpful,
good.
Dick?
I'll do that.
Very good. And I'll give you that contact information right after we come back from the break. Stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine will continue, and we'll be talking with Life and also with Paul next. Stay right there. Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette Morgan, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert from the Northwest Vision Institute. I promise to give you the information to contact Dr. Michael Gilbert and his amazing team. That phone number is 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020, located in Bellevue. So there you go. Is that right?
Thank you.
You got it. Okay, with Dr. Michael Gilbert. All right, continuing to take answers or get answers to your questions on Leading Edge today, here is that number to get through to us live in the studio, 800-465-8770. We're now headed to Bellevue, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Is it Leif or Life?
Lyf,
okay, there we go. L-Y-F.
Tell us where that name comes from.
Yes.
It's actually short for my real name. I'm from another country. My real name is Odalis, so I just used the last three letters, Lis, which is a flower.
Okay, yeah, your accent sounds East European.
Maybe because I just got out of bed. Anyway.
All right, how can we help you today, young lady?
Yeah, this question is for Dr. Gilbert. I have a nephew who lives in another part of this world. And if I don't want to get political, Dr. Mixon, his visa was denied, even though he's an EE. And he goes to other parts of the world to fix things. And I got kind of like puzzled. Okay, so you're letting people.
Yeah, okay, well, let me interject for just one second. Get your question answered by Dr. Gilbert. And then
strap in for the politics.
That's right.
And then I'm going to tell you about when we tried to get my wife's parents a visa to come for our daughter's birth. And it's classic government snafus. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, get your question answered first, and then I'll tell you what happened to us. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, he lives in another country. And he is now.
This is your son?
In his late 40s. No, okay. Nephew.
Nephew, got it.
And,
go ahead.
Anyway, he got toxoplasmosis as a child. Imagine as a baby. And anyway, so that was never taken care of until he went to high school.
Uh huh.
Or no, he must have been 10. Anyway, so the thing is that my sister was told that there was nothing that it could be done because he had lesions on the retina caused by the toxoplasmosis, which the lesions touch the peripheral part of the macula that is on the right eye, and then the left eye, they don't touch, but they're around the macula. So he was told, then he went to see a specialist when he started to work at an EE, and he was told the same thing, that there was no cure for that, nothing that he could be done, that they could do.
Yeah, and that's almost certainly true. I'm trying to so the presentation of ocular toxoplasmosis is classically it's the number one cause of posterior uveitis in the eye, but it's often self-limited. So the treatment there are several treatments, but it's controversial whether they really make a difference or if it's more commonly just going to go away on its own. But having had toxoplasmosis, the most common, I have to think back when the last time I saw active toxoplasmosis, by far the vast majority, all of the toxo that I see is the residual scarring. Fortunately for most people, it tends to be mid-periphery and periphery, so although it technically affects some of the vision, it doesn't affect much of the functional vision. If you're saying it's close to the macula, which is the central most critical part of the vision, it may be influencing part of his vision in one eye, but usually not both. So I'd be surprised if it were a major impact to his vision, but it certainly can be. But that's quite permanent scarring until we have some treatment that that replaces the retina. Eventually we will, but we're a long, long ways for that now. So permanent scarring. The source of toxo infections generally is tied to cats. And it's up to some parts of the world, up to 60% of people have it, in the United States, it's less than half of that. But it is seen here. One of the reasons that cats should be banned, in my view.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's your mic working.
Oh, dear. That's why dog invented God invented dogs, I think.
Or the other way around.
Or Remy. Yeah, right. Could have been. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I regret. Nothing we can do about the scarring. And once it's gotten to that stage, there's frankly nothing to treat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure and wanted to ask the question to somebody here who knows about these things. Before the pandemic, he went to see another specialist, and he was told the same thing. So I said, I'm going to ask somebody who knows
treatment,
about these
unfortunately,
things.
Anyway. No treatment for the scars at this point. Someday we will, you know, they're looking at stem cell implantation and different ways to try and recover. And one of the most fascinating things is eye transplants. It's something that's being worked on, but we're a long, 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 long ways from transplanting retinas and eyeballs.
Yeah, may I ask a question to Dr. Mixon? Because sure. You mentioned stem cells.
Yes.
Does the guy in Panama City, Panama, would he be able to do that when, you know?
No, Neil does not do intraocular stem cells.
No evidence that it helps.
Yeah.
We've tried some. Yeah. Honestly, it really, we can't get them to differentiate and then organize into useful retinal cells.
Yeah, I've talked to Neil about when he's done spinal cord injuries, people that were paralyzed from a spinal cord injury, and he's actually got a couple of patients that have recovered well enough that they've gone from paralysis to able to walk with canes, which is a dramatic improvement. But I think his series of that is like two.
So I just said we can't do it. But that, let me tell you, just last week, with somewhat jaw-dropping, I was at a medical meeting, and there is an initiative to work on eye transplantation, whole eye transplantation, which is almost inconceivable to me that we can get the nerves to rewire themselves, because there are millions of nerve fibers that have to reorganize in a very precise way for us to see.
Yep.
But first they're getting it to, can we get those to connect? And so they showed ways, and one of the ways that they were trying to get the nerves to connect included stem cell injections into that anastomosis of the two nerves.
But, and that's what Neil has done.
A long ways from that.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. And what he's found is that with the spinal cord, they have to do it about 2 to 3 months after injury. If they do it too soon, there's too much inflammation. If they do it too late, there's too much scar tissue. So they have to do it just at the right point in the healing. And, of course, there's a big difference in getting gross muscle function and vision, which is far more precise.
Huge.
It didn't seem that hard with the bionic man, Steve Austin.
Yeah, well.
They did it in the intro when he had his surgeries.
Television does a lot of bionic stuff that we can't really
They skipped some minor steps
in
there.
They still haven't gotten in there, and that was in the 70s. So.
But,
yeah.
We're going to have you hold on for just a second, Liff. Liff, can you hold on for a second? We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll let you talk politics with Dr. Mixon, okay?
No, I was just going to say, I'm going to go and I'll just listen to what you have to say.
Okay. All right.
My nephew lives in Panama City, though.
All right. Yes, Neil lives in Panama City. So, all right.
Thank you for that.
And once more, I can get you his contact information if you send a note to contact us at Longevity.
All right. Very good, Liff. Thank you for the call. We are going to take a quick break. We will be back. But something we want you to put on your calendar is coming up here in just a couple of weeks. We're talking 2 weeks from today. It's Saturday, February 10th. We are doing gallery tests at all three of our clinics in Tacoma and in Linwood, and our newest clinic, our beautiful new facility in Kirkland. But you do need to make an appointment for that, and you can do that today by calling 1-866-888-8888. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, or by going to our website at lmclinic.com. Now, the Galleri test, we've talked about this over the last 6 months or so because we've done it at each of our clinics, but this time we're doing it at all of them. And whether you're a longevity patient or not, most of our longevity patients know they can get this test done, but we're reaching out and letting our non-patients be able to do this. And this is that test that screens for 50 different cancers, the Galleri test. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later in the show, but wanted you to get that date on the calendar because it is 2 weeks from today. We'll take a quick break and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. You stay tuned.